are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. On today's show, we have Niall Flanagan.
Larry, hello.
Anthony Askew.
Hello.
Dwayne Maloney.
Hey, how's it going?
And me, Brian Smith. This week's episode, The Fall, Iggy and Geb Nadol, Part 1. But first, the week in JoJo's news. Item number one, Let's Go JoJo is back.
Hey!
Already?
Yes. Appointment viewing on Fridays. It returns.
Yes, our ritual has returned. I felt more like a whole person again, knowing
that.
Come home from work, watch an episode of JoJo's, and then talk about it.
With purpose and structure to our lives again.
It is. I now know what a drug addict feels like when he gets his...
his weekly fix.
Yes, I have a better understanding of religion and drugs through doing this podcast. But in real JoJo's news, well, real is a big stretch. So, the website President Online had an article where they listed the 10 books to read in the face of adversity. And number one is a book called, no, sorry, number two, rather, was a book called Strange Quotations of JoJo, Part 4 to 8. Apparently this is the second in a series of books called Strange Quotations of JoJo. As I understand, this is a collection of quotations from JoJo's Parts 4 to 8.
It's literally just quotes.
Well, I don't know exactly. I noticed it didn't have very good reviews on the Japanese Amazon webpage.
Is it like inspirational quotes?
I guess so. I don't know. I've not done much more research than read that article and then check it on Amazon to make sure it was a real book. But hey, I can believe that it would be because of the JoJo's fever. And talking of tenuous items about JoJo's fever, let us return to our new favourite rock band, or idol band, Funky Yankee Teachers.
Okay.
FYT.
Are they around again, are they?
As they yes. There was a news item which was just about the fact that their New Year's welcome photo they'd posted was some more JoJo's posing. Well done, their marketing team. Getting their name out there in their weird gimmick of being colour-coded hoodlum teachers who do JoJo's posing. It's covering a wide variety of interests.
That's a very specific niche.
Ticks all my boxes. I'm there.
But most of the JoJo's news has been more pictures of the new JoJo's beat-em-up Eyes of Heaven, which is a tag team beat-em-up.
Oh, tag team beat-em-ups are always iffy. I'm just saying. Is it Eyes of Heaven, yeah?
Is this the one that has, what's his name? You know, the Nazi, everyone's...
Rohan.
Favorite.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Rohan.
Tag teams are fine if you've got him in it. Yeah, but I guess I could give it a try.
Did you give the other one much of a try beyond the
demo? Yeah, no.
Well, we look forward to us arguing about whether the demo's on there again.
That's good. Can't wait.
When you can't find it. And anyone else got any more JoJo's news, or is that it for JoJo's news for this week?
That's about it, I think.
Mm. Yeah, there wasn't much of it. It was mainly people recycling the same Eyes of Heaven news item from Famitsu. Like, one was literally just a translation being passed off as their own item. Okay, on to the episode itself. The Fall, Iggy and Geb Nadol. Part one, but before we get to the episode, we have a new theme tune.
We do.
I didn't know.
Oh, right, yeah, we do. Do you mean the opening or the closing, or both?
Well, let's start with the opening, as we're starting at the start of the episode, which apparently is called JoJo Sono Chi no Kyoko End of the World by Joe Stars, Tommy, Coda, Jin. I have no idea who any of these people are.
Coda did season 2 of JoJo's?
Yeah, did a bloody stream, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Which is one of my favourite intros, so...
So I don't know who Tommy and Jin are.
Yeah.
Is it Joestar's Tommy? Because I'm not sure if that's like the one on the same...
Where it says Joestar, it's got Joe, and then a star, then stars, then a tilde, then Tommy, then comma, then Coda, then Comma, then Jin, then another tilde.
Oh, I'm pleased there's another tilde.
So it's Joe Stars, Tommy, Coda, and Jin. I think is how you pronounce that.
Okay, got that cleared up. So what do you think of it?
I thought it was James Bond at first. I thought it was going to be a James Bond style intro with, I don't know, a bit jazz and whatnot, but I've watched it 3 times, the intro. It does get better with each watch. Because at first I thought, I'm not keen, but I think it's going to be one that grows on you.
Yep, I've forgotten what it sounds like already.
That's but I do remember how it ends.
The Wailing of Terror?
Oh, aura, no. Aura, aura,
aura. Aura, aura, aura. Aura, aura.
Everybody going. Sing along at home. Aura, aura, aura. Aura, aura, aura. Follow the bouncing fist.
It is catchy, but as you say, I don't remember it either, but it was about an hour ago since I watched it. Or maybe a bit more.
But so I'm sure it'll grow on us.
Yeah.
It took a while for the last one to grow on me, but yeah, when it did, it kind of hooked, got its hooks in, all right. So hopefully it'll be the same.
Anyway, we join our crew back in Egypt as we left them at the end of episode 24 with a helicopter landing and their helper that has been brought to them to help them out, and also some supplies. And this helper, they think it's one of the pilots at first, but no, he's still in the helicopter, and they think it must be someone really short because they're covered up in a coat.
All short people are covered in coat.
And it turns out to be a dog by the name of Iggy. So, Anthony, had you been spoiled?
Well, with the intro, yes. The intro spoiled it. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be the addition. I don't know whether I should be disappointed or fooled by my own hype, because I was really hyped to see who or what it was.
You thought it was going to be a big, muscly guy, didn't you?
I did. I didn't think it was one of the pilots, don't get me wrong. I thought the helicopter was going to transform into a person. I don't bloody know. But I didn't expect a dog. It was genuinely... I got away with any spoilers for that, but... Pleased? I don't know. As long as he's a strong character in terms of fighting ability, I think I'll be fine. Though.
Well, we see how strong he is because he beats up Polnareff.
Yep.
Well,
that's not really an achievement.
Yeah.
Listen, I love Polnareff and all, but a lot of people beat him up.
I think, you know, of all these guys, I think Iggy is probably the smart. I think he's the new brains of the operation.
Yeah. I mean, like, since Abdal went crazy, I think he's probably the wise one.
Yeah, but I mean, even Avdol Lee, who was the ostensible brains of the operation, he even kind of gets the best of him.
Yeah.
He gets a new leader. We'll do what he says.
Yeah, because Avdol is not pleased that Joseph has decided to bring Iggy along on this.
It's jealous, like, that's right, because he knows he's going to be displaced.
Because apparently Avdol was the only one who was able to capture him originally when he was causing trouble for the New York...
Dog catchers.
So he's a Boston Terrier, or at least as close as a Boston Terrier is going to look in Iraqi's art style.
Mm.
Well, he could become some kind of mongrelly one. You never know.
He could be.
He's an ugly dog.
Well, in certain shots he is, but in the intro and stuff, he looks as badass as a dog could be. I don't know. I quite like the shape of his face in certain shots. I don't know. He's quite cool looking for a little mongrel.
Yeah, the art style changes like a little further on down the line when we get the stand battle between the pets. So we have Iggy versus Pet Shop, and he gets like an internal monologue during that fight. So I think his design changes a little slightly then to reflect that.
Actually, Brian, who's voicing Iggy?
That is Masato Fukuen.
I thought it was a real dog.
Really,
because I'm one good voice acting dog.
I was going to say, because the thing I like about it is it's quite clearly somebody pretending to be a dog.
Like, growl, growl, Nash.
I don't know if I've seen. I know I've seen her in Durarara, but I can't remember the character she was playing. So the only thing I can remember her being in something else is the twins in Blood Sea.
Are they dogs or are they?
No, they're humans. Oh. They become sort of dog food by the end of the...
I'll try to look down her list of credits and see what did she play in the other animals. And all. Like, would she be the Japanese Frank Welker, if that were the case?
No. we've already had her, and she was playing an evil baby.
Miss Fuku, and she did play a character in Dragon Collection TV called Puppy. So, it's not. This is the woman for the job right here. She's already played a puppy already.
So the thing about Iggy is he fights humans by biting their hair and then farting in their faces.
Tell me that doesn't happen every week.
I wish it did.
I'm sure that's a move in the fighting game. It might be a throw, hopefully. I don't know.
I think it's like one of his finishing moves, actually, one of his super moves. It's a big, long combo, and then the final strike is that fart in the face.
His stand is the Fool, which after he's ripped Polnareff's hair out and Polnareff attacks him with Silver Chariot, he beats him with his stand as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of on Iggy's side of that thing. I mean, like, I know it's a dog that farted in your face, but it's still a dog. You can't stab it with a knife. That's not cool, dude.
And he loves coffee-flavored gum.
Of course.
Apparently, I didn't know that was a thing.
The only thing which will calm him down.
I know some people like that. So the sale of coffee-flavoured gum is going to go up, and Boston Terriers. Everyone's going to want a Boston Terrier. That's what we've learned.
And he's also got a great sense of smell, because he was able to smell that they were being watched by a man.
Oh, don't tell me his name, because we don't know his name
yet.
No,
he says his name in this episode.
Is he?
Yeah,
he
it's like in the episode title.
Oh, I thought that was the name of his stand.
No, we don't know the name of his stand, but he definitely says his own name.
Oh, right, yeah, and... Say it,
Bundle.
Oh yeah. Okay, I wasn't sure if that was the stand or him, but okay.
So he's a blind stand user, and we learn that he's got a water-based stand. It appears to be, and it's very long distance. And he's
extremely.
What else happens this episode? Polnareff is back to being a jerk to Avdol of all people.
Yeah, I know. That seems kind of like the
thing
you've
learned.
I'm glad you're alive, so I can just be mean to you again. Also, Kakyoin is blinded by the when the stand attacks him.
Yeah, cutting the eyes, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, he shouldn't have been such a jerk to Polnareff.
That was kind of funny. He's like, hey, Polnareff, go stab the thing. No, you do it. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to. And like when Polnareff is getting savaged by Iggy, he's like, somebody help me! The dog's attacking me! And the Kakyoin is all, sorry, Polnareff, I'm not getting my hair torn out. Swish, swish.
So they got their dune buggy, and they head off, and they also got this information from the pilots that Dio's assembled a new team of
nine
men and women who are a mystery to Avdol, because they reckon there's only one stand user left based on the tarot.
Holly's only got 2 weeks to live.
Yeah, and Holly's only got 2 weeks to live. Anyway, as they set off, they discover the helicopter crashed. One pilot is drowned in the middle of the desert to the point where he's got a fish in his lungs.
I didn't quite get that bit. I'm not sure where they got the fish.
Standfish.
And the other one's been dehydrated, and then he gets his head ripped off by some water, which was in a canteen.
Awesome.
That was, again, a thing of unnecessary censorship.
I think that it was wholly necessary.
I was going to say, yeah.
But what I mean is, it's clear what's happening.
It's not very well disguised. But it makes you wonder, oh my goodness, how gory is that going to look in the uncensored
version? The amount they censor, I guess, yeah.
given what they've let me see, what on earth does it look like once they let me see the rest of it?
You'll be sick.
And this is better than the hack job they've been doing on Terra 4 Mars. Such a version of that.
I just hope people would forget about that show.
Anyway, these pilots were dead as soon as they showed up, really.
They were really big as well. They were the exact same body shape as Jotaro. And everyone else, for that matter. But they were stacked.
I did like the way they had different kind of like looks, where either one could be the stand user. They both look kind of cool or nonchalant enough to be there.
And they were, I believe, in the credits Speedwagon Pilot A and Speedwagon Pilot B.
Such generic names.
Yeah, be remembered forever.
The Will, one of them looked like a villain. He could have been an evil stand user.
One did have a bit of a weird smile when you first saw him, as if to say, oh, what's this guy up to?
They check his background before they employed him at the Speedwagon Foundation.
Like your man from last season, who just happens to be a fruit stand seller. He happens to be a helicopter pilot.
Up until the point where they're attacked, Joseph seems to find all this good fun, particularly Iggy annoying Polnareff and Abdul's reaction to Iggy being there. And again, Joe Taro is like, is this supposed to be the main character? Because he does very little this episode.
It's amazing when they're hanging off the car and he's hanging off with one arm and he's his other hand in his pocket. God damn it, man. Get your head in the game.
He's got a stay on message, man. You know, he's got to like maintain the facade of cool, calm collectiveness.
And does he do anything? So he looks through some binoculars at one point.
Star Platinum's next to him, but he doesn't look through them.
That's why it would have been much better if he was holding the binoculars up for Star Platinum.
That would make more sense with the
precision. Didn't have like a pencil and paper from the drawer, whatever he sees.
That was one of the supplies, though, wasn't it? They gave it, brought him a Polaroid camera.
And a new mechanical hand as well.
Yeah. Oh, they do take a sweet picture before they wreck it, which is a good idea. They should have been doing that the whole time.
Oh, it's a lovely image as well.
And they're going to remind you of that image in the end credits every episode.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is this... I think it's an obvious answer, unless I'm way off. It's got to be Tremors-inspired.
Yeah, I was thinking the same, but I think Tremors is like way later, isn't it?
I don't know.
I'd say Tremors 1, because I'm sure that film ends with a very... Well, I know they're on a rock at the end of that film, but...
They do climb on top of cars and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's 1990.
I'd say it would probably be okay. Tremors.
I've nailed it.
Let me see when this first chapter went. 1990 this chapter came out, so it might be a bit too close.
Maybe you've seen the trailer?
Tremors come out January 1990.
Oh, so maybe,
August. Okay. So there's possibility. Yeah.
Go and see Tremors if you've not seen it.
It is great, yeah.
Well, don't go and see it, because that'd be...
Came out June 1990 in Japan. So you'd have two months before this chapter came out.
You could have seen it when he was on holiday, because you know he's fond of travelling around. So maybe he's there for the premiere.
Yeah.
Never know. They're there for research purposes, as he told his editor. I gotta go see his movie in Los Angeles for research.
I totally want people to describe the plots of movies to him he hasn't seen, and then to make that some sort of stand.
Because Travis is a good choice, but the other thing I thought of, because it's a water monster, is the Abyss, which I think was 89.
I guess in terms of chronology, it is.
But it's definitely similar to Tremors in the vibrations through the sand is how the stand is detecting them. Because Undall is like 4 kilometers away with he's detecting them through his walking stick.
He's blind.
Yes.
Did we mention he's blind?
We did.
It's important.
But Iggy can smell him. And Iggy is just not bothered that all the humans are going to get killed.
Why would he? He still has the flavor of coffee in his mouth.
Is the evil stand user aware of Iggy as a stand user? Because he seems to be very...
I think he said it was a dog. Yeah.
But he's like, oh shit, there's a dog.
But no, because he thinks that... I'm pretty sure he must be, because he's watching them when Iggy uses his stand. Yeah. And when the dog first gets out and smells him, he thinks he's going to have to take care of the dog first. But then when Iggy just decides, just trots away from where they're sinking in the quicksand and snuggles down and goes back to sleep as they're all dying.
That makes a lot of sense, I guess.
I don't have to deal with that dog after all. But I'm going to guess next episode he'll have to deal with that dog.
I hope so.
It's quite likely he's massively underestimating Iggy.
I was going to say, one thing you don't do when you're in a shonen manga is underestimate the good guys.
Ever.
Don't underestimate anything. It'll only make you look like a fool later. Always take everything deadly seriously.
It would be weird, though, in a shonen manga if there was a villain who just took every precaution possible.
I'm not a fan of the Fool. The look of him, anyway.
What are you talking about? It's great. It's the front half is a dog chicken and the back half is a car.
In the intro, it looks fine, but I'm sure the little glimpse you see, it's kind of disguised by cogs and...
this episode looks a little rough in places anyway, so I'm sure it'll look better when they do the Blu-ray touch-up.
I'm probably saving up for the fight scenes as well.
It'll be primarily in the form of like a wave of sand anyway, so... Wanted to worry about it too much. Actually, I think Iggy, he's probably afraid of Iggy because, like, he'd probably be totally overpowered because they're in the middle of a fucking desert. So he can just use all this sand to attack him with.
Yeah, I'm kind of... How tough was he in New York? Because is New York known for its sandy beaches?
He's probably hanging out at a lot of building sites.
That'd probably be it, yeah.
Yeah, he could probably use other particles as well, not just sand.
But who said he was, like, fighting with his stand? You may have just been on the run.
That's true. He seems pretty tough without the stand in the first place.
Oh, dear.
I just like the... Did Joseph just hear a report of a really tough dog in New York and thought, maybe that dog's got a stand. We better round him up.
Maybe, like, when Joseph was like, no, he was, like... He lives in New York
for the rest of the year.
So maybe there was, like, a dog getting into his bins every night. He's like, track this dog down, find out who he is, because what dog would have had the guts to try and break into the Joestar mansion, you know?
So smashed the camera. It's got a photo of a dog with a stand around it. I thought, okay. Got to get this dog on our side.
And maybe the Speedwagon Foundation is trying to find stand users to help them out.
Could be.
I mean, like, if the only thing they've found is a dog, then they're really bad at that.
Yeah, it seems like Dio's got much better recruiting.
Yeah, and that's pretty good for a guy who's been, like, in a coffin in the bottom of the ocean for 100 years.
Well, he's been doing it for the last 2 years, so presumably the lads have been on a bit of lacking. But, I mean, like, who would he... Dio had Inyaba, and then... Who else recruiting? I guess just her. She was like the second. And she happened to have a son who was a stand user. So that's, you know, he's already building the numbers.
It runs in a family, I suppose.
Friend of a friend.
It also happened to know a guy along, you know, who lives in like every town or in every city along a possible overland route to get to Cairo. So if ever happen to get wind of his plan and come here to try and kill you, we're sorted.
I told you in previous episode he's got different sets of cards for different routes around the world. So there'll be like a happy family set of stand users in a different route.
So is it like if they came through a different route, they would have hit a different guy, and that guy would have been the lovers?
Oh no, he'd be Mr. Bun the Baker.
Oh right, okay.
Anything else worth mentioning in this episode?
Let's see. I just said, I mean, the first time I actually looked up what Endul's namesake was, and it's like, you saw Endure?
Yes, I remember him.
Yeah, you might best know him best for that song. Seven seconds away, much longer than I stay. 4 kilometers away, I'm gonna kill you all with my stand. I'll be waiting for you to die.
That sounds like the song, yeah.
I was gonna say.
Yes.
Is this Filk? Is this anime Filk we're doing now?
Not bad singing, Niall. I'm impressed.
I did like the way he was, the dog knows I'm exactly 4 kilometers away to the west. It's like, how do you know the dog knows that you're in that exact positioning?
How do you know where you are? You're blind.
He can sense the dog's movements. He can sense that the dog's looking in his direction.
Vibration.
And of course, also, Iggy is named after Iggy Pop.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, I get that now, but I thought it was Ziggy.
So he was named after Iggy Azalea?
No, I thought it was Ziggy.
Okay.
You know how they mess everything up with the new subs. Not mess everything up, but change stuff. So I was like, oh, I don't know.
Well, I don't think changing from Ziggy to Iggy would stop infringing copyright.
That's true.
I did like the thing of him trying to kill the fly. It's like, damn, I nearly had it. I'm getting better at that, though.
And the fact that he says, one of those sorts of flies dragged the Joestars here in the first place.
Must kill them all.
Theo's orders are kill the Stardust Crusaders and also kill any of those flies you see. I hate those guys.
The ending theme?
We need of course, yeah.
Oh, yeah, before we get to the ending theme, Nadul was played by Kentaro Itao, who is more famously Renji from Bleach and Choji from Naruto.
Nice.
Because I thought I recognised his voice from somewhere. Probably more close to the Renji voice than the Choji voice. Because I assume he's doing fat voice for Choji. It's been a while since saw him in Naruto.
Fat voice.
You know fat voice.
I know, of course I do. I do on a daily basis.
Why am I so fat?
But yes, the ending theme is Last Train Home by the Pat... Matheny group? I've never heard of them before.
Methane group.
Is this a cover? Because I don't really recognise it.
No, I think it's an original.
It's bang on.
It's some kind of song. I went and listened to it, and naturally, the comments are already jam-packed with people saying, oh, it's JoJo's new outro, and then getting into arguments over nothing about that.
I made a big booby. A big mistake by... I was listening to the song. It's a great song. And for the record, I hope they do what they did with Yes and Roundabout, where if there's a tense scene, they sometimes start the intro early. Because it is a long song. They can definitely pull that off. But instead, I scroll down the very first comment. And there may have been a bit of a spoiler. I'm not going to say where it is, but it probably is going to happen. And it is a big... Three big spoilers. Some...
I've always avoid the comments. That's for the
best.
Well,
I didn't expect some ass. His picture's a picture of Jotaro. Sure, you would have more respect than just, you know, pinning a spoiler under a either way. I felt it was coming anyway, but I'm not saying anything more. Panicking.
Everyone gets new hats.
That's what, actually, exactly where it was.
Okay. Sorry.
You see Jotaro without his hat in the ending theme, funny enough.
Well, that's true.
Do, yes. The ending theme animation is just bros broing out.
it's the nicest broing out as well. They're just like, oh, they're on a train. This is lovely.
The sounds are somewhat relaxing and nice. I'm not sure you could do the same thing as you're saying, Anthony, where this could try to transition to this for like a dramatic ending. Cause,
well,
like,
I think it's quite an epic tune.
Apparently, according to Wikipedia, it is jazz fusion.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll take their word for it. I'm not familiar with jazz fusion.
I thought it was chap hop. So.
as for part four, if they ever animate that.
And originally released in 1987. Do you know anything? Have you heard of this guy before this point?
No,
I don't. Am I alone in my ignorance?
I've heard the song before. But not the guy's name.
I've never heard of the guy. It could be one of those dudes who, like, there's a lot of songs that you kind of know, but you're not sure of the name or the band. And I got a feeling he's one of these guys. I'm going to, like, look a bit into him and see what else he's done. But him and his band, there's a twist. There's a group effort here. Group effort.
What do you think, lads? Is it a strong start? Or
It's good to be back. And
it is.
It's actually even more exciting because, you know, knowing what's coming up down the line, I'm actually it doesn't like dull my enthusiasm in the slightest. I'm totally excited to see what they do with some of the stories they've got coming up.
Yeah, I highly enjoyed it. I was looking forward to it all week, possibly all over Christmas as well.
Yeah.
Coming up Christmas, get over and done with. First of all, I was in a hurry to see the January the 4th New Japan pay-per-view. So and once that was over, then I was in full JoJo hurry-up mode.
Yeah. Also, out today is Assassination Classroom, which I'm also looking forward to. Right now.
And Death Parade.
Yeah.
More things we can't watch because they're on Funimation.
It's
Assassin's Classroom of Funimation as well.
I think it might be, yes.
It is. Oh, man.
There's other ways to watch it.
Yes, wait a week and then watch it on Hulu through a VPN.
Oh. I mean, other ways. Other ways. Even other.
Did you know?
He meant to buy the Japanese Blu-rays, of course, for watching two episodes at a time.
Yeah, it's...
Obviously.
The ideal way, yeah.
But yeah, that's this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo. Be back here next week for the Fall Iggy and Gebnadol Part 2. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com. And dynamiteinthebrain.com. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sandbags, windbags, camels with the hump. Fat girls, thin girls, some a little plump. Slave girls sold here, 50 bob a lump in the old bazaar in Cairo. Brandy, shandy, beer without a froth. Braces, laces, a candle for the moth. Bet you'd look a dolly in an old loincloth in the old bazaar in Cairo. You can buy most anything. Thimbles, fat cows, a little bit of string. You can purchase anything you wish. A clock, a dish, and something for your Auntie Fanny. Harem, scarem, what do you think of that? Benny, striptease, dancing on the mat. Oompa, oompa. That's enough of that in the old bazaar in Cairo.